The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is part of the Podbelly Network. Please visit podbelly.com to see a complete listing of all of our other shows.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, ain't.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 173 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
And it's Sunday.
Yeah.
Not when we're recording, it's only Saturday.
This
but it
is
sure
true.
Seems like Thanksgiving because we got like four Thanksgivings all coming up in the next 2 weeks. The joy of having a huge family.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, obviously, we're going to start off by thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you're in, especially if you're from the U.S., Thanksgiving's coming up, and I know a lot of you are going to be away from your families, and we're sorry about that, but just know that we're thinking of you.
Absolutely. You guys keeping us safe, and we're praying every day for you guys, and hopefully you'll get a nice Thanksgiving meal.
Yes, I'm sure the U.S. government will take care of you.
You should, as they should.
Okay, I want to get this out early because normally we put it these shout outs and stuff. But Jen Larson wanted us to wish her sister Katie a very happy birthday. Her birthday is the 17th, which is the same day this is coming out.
Yeah, happy birthday, Katie.
Yep, happy birthday, Katie. You got a wonderful big sister who was looking out for you.
Oh, yeah, it was very nice, honey. I hope you have a wonderful birthday.
Now we're going to go into the the situation of it's that time of the year, and we've been saying this for a couple of weeks, but it just bears repeating. It's that time of the year where it's tough on a lot of people. They've lost family members. Tracy's going through that same situation as the first Thanksgiving without her father. We're going to be doing that actually early tomorrow. So I'm sure it's going to be a very emotional day. And we know that she's not the only person that's going through some struggles right now this time of year. So we just want everybody to know that we're thinking about you. And it's important for everyone to know that we love you.
Yeah, we do love you very much.
And if you want to hear it in person, feel free to pick up the phone and call or text us or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter or anything else we've got, because we will take the time to let you know that you're important to us. Even if we've never met, even if we've never talked, you're important to us.
Absolutely.
So, and I know, if we're saying that and we haven't met you, trust me when I tell you your friends and family feel 100 times more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever feel like that you mean nothing to your friends or family because you're 100% wrong. I promise you that.
Yes.
So reach out if you need to talk to any of us. You can reach out to our Facebook group. You can reach out to the suicide hotline in the United States, 1-800-273-8255. If you're more of a texter, 741-741. And we can get you some company if you're in need of company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't say this very often, but we have a UFO story tonight. It's more of a UFO abduction story. And if you had a chance to listen to the Patreon episode, I kind of shared that, you know, we were doing actually a couple for Patreon.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing a couple for this one. So if you're a UFO freak, you got you 3 or 4 episodes here back to back.
Sounds good to me.
If you're not, then you don't have to worry about listening for probably another 10 months because we probably won't do another one anytime soon. When it comes to the UFO stuff, though, as I've said before, it's not my biggest fascination, but sometimes I see a story that just does kind of fascinate me. And then when I do, those are the ones I kind of share. And we've got 2 of them for you tonight.
It's so weird that that doesn't fascinate you.
I don't know what fascinates me, to be honest with you. Or not that I don't know what does, but why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I think I mentioned on the Patreon episode, you know, I've mentioned that I'm not really fascinated with Bigfoot or cryptids, and I'm not really fascinated with UFOs, and it's because I believe in both of them, so I don't see it being fascinating. But then again,
I was going to say, if you run up on one, I bet it fascinates your butt.
Well, but I mean, but that whole theory goes out the window when you realize that I'm fascinated with ghosts and stuff, and I believe in them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there really is no reason why I should be more fascinated with one than the other.
Because I just think you need a good anal probe. That bet probably piqued your interest.
It piqued something. It wouldn't interest. I don't know. I don't think if we got up for him's commercial tonight. So.
Are you going to include an alien in it?
I might. You don't know. They like you to be original.
Yeah, so. That's true.
Okay. The first incident we're going to talk about tonight, fittingly, is called the Falcon Lake Incident. Tonight's story took place in Manitoba, Canada in 1967. This is one of those pretty well-known accounts. Now, when I say pretty well-known, I mean, if you are really into UFOs, you probably know the story.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I didn't really know
you
it.
You had no clue.
Because it's not something that I just actively seek out, so I ran across it. Most will say that this is the most documented UFO case in all of Canada.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about it right after this quick break from our new sponsor, Books. Look, guys, we get it. Ordering online flowers sucks. Done it several times. Crazy expensive, sad-looking flowers that die in like 2 days. I'll take a hard pass on that one. But the Books, total game changer. Books, that's short for bouquets, in case you didn't figure it out, are sustainably grown and cut fresh flowers with the world's finest eco-friendly farms, even farms on the side of volcanoes. Think about that. They're sourced directly, so your flowers stay fresher longer. So a couple little experiences that I wanted to share with you. This goes back a little while before I met Tracy, but there was another young lady I was dating, and I had some flowers sent to her work through one of these other services. They lasted like 2 days. She literally accused me of getting these from the cemetery. That's how quick these things died, and the relationship didn't last a whole lot longer. I don't necessarily know that it had to do with the flowers, but she definitely didn't think that I cared enough to do the best, which is what you get when you get Books. The one thing I like about Books is their customer service. Besides the fact that the flowers are absolutely awesome, I wish you could see the bouquet that they sent us here. This thing, well, I took pictures, so I guess you can't see it, but I'll post pictures of it. This thing's got eucalyptus in it. It's got berries. This thing had flowers I have never seen before, and I swear to God on it. I've never seen flowers like some of these that came in here. Calla lilies. I mean, what an awesome arrangement. But the story I was going to tell you is I remember I had a young lady, it was her birthday, and I know I'm really sounding really bad when I talked about all these different young ladies and none of them are white, but I'm trying to be truthful here. So anyways, I've got these, I send this lady flowers, and it was on a Friday, it was her birthday, it was supposed to be there at like 10 o'clock in the morning. They didn't show up. They brought them on Monday after they had called me and said they're sorry, they screwed up, they didn't get there. I mean, I was like, now I've missed this person's birthday, and then they get them on Monday, and I know it still means something, but, you know, it's just, when you're a boyfriend and something doesn't happen until the Monday after a birthday, they just automatically assume you just forgot their birthday, and that wasn't a deal, I promise, wasn't a deal on this one, but the flower company made me look bad. You don't have to worry about that with Books. Books delivers beautiful, farm-fresh, sustainable, grown flowers, plants, and awesome gifts, perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, or just because. And that's what I like about it. They're real flowers that help create real connections. Grounded in transparency, responsible in simplicity, the Books Company creates genuine moments of emotional connection for the Books fam and builds meaningful relationships with like-minded farmers and florists who they empower to thrive and eliminate unnecessary waste along the way. No better way to give thanks than with a book. You can provide a wedding or corporate packages that allow you to save up to 80% versus traditional florists. We're going to get you 25% off your order from Books Company when you use the code Hillbilly. You know good things coming, flower packages. So celebrate life's moments with Farm Fresh Books. And to get the 25% off your first Books order, go to BOUQS.com/Hillbilly to get 25% off your first order with the code Hillbilly. You guys are going to absolutely love this. Out of everything that we've ever pitched to you in the past, advertiser-wise, this is the one thing that I think everyone can definitely use.
That says a lot.
Yep. The star of tonight's show is a gentleman by the name of Stefan Michalak.
Okay.
Actually, it's Michalak.
Okay.
I believe. I've heard it both ways. So if I said the name wrong and you had that same last name, I apologize. But I've saw Michalak and Michalak, so I'm going to go with Michalak. He was a 51-year-old man. He was originally from Poland. He had moved to Canada, and he was an industrial mechanic. He had this huge fascination with geology, though, so he spent a lot of his spare time out searching for silver and quartz. Not quartz of silver.
No, I get you.
Want to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what brought him to Falcon Lake on this specific weekend. He had some luck in previous years, and he staked a few claims out there. And this was a long weekend in Canada, so I guess they had a holiday. So on May 19th, he actually checked into this little motel right there in the vicinity. On May 20th, he was at the lake near this, you know, quartz mine that was going on. I guess I should say not a mine, but a vein, a quartz vein.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a gaggle of geese suddenly just fly right into the air, and they all started honking and stuff like that, and it scared the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Basically.
They're pretty loud, actually.
Yeah. He looks up. He sees two cigar-shaped objects in the sky about 50 feet away from him. Not very far at all. Ninja's impressed. He said then one of the objects starts coming down, and it lands on kind of a flat rock, and the other UFO, we'll call it, just kind of stayed up in the air. So the craft that landed now looked a little different to him. It looked more like a disc-shaped object. And about this time, the other disc object in the air just decided to fly off. So now you only got the one. He was still kind of hidden, though. He was behind some trees and stuff. So he saw this thing land, but he wasn't thinking that this thing saw him at all.
Uh-huh.
He thought it was some kind of U.S. experimental aircraft. He didn't think for a minute that it was a UFO or alien or anything like that. He said he spent about the next 30 minutes just kind of sketching what he saw on a pad of paper that he had. He decided after he got through sketching this and spending that time that he wanted to go up to it and see what was going on. What he says stood out most, though, was that as you got closer, you could feel warm air blowing towards you. Like a you know, almost like it was a heater or something blowing your direction, coming off of the ship. He said also that you could smell sulfur in the air as you got closer. So this is different than most UFO encounters, at least the ones that I'm familiar with, where he says you could actually hear the whirling sound of the motor and hear the hissing of air. Because, you know, every other story I've ever seen or heard basically says there's no sound whatsoever. That's what they always talk about. It was how you got this giant craft and there's no sound at all, though, coming from it. He said you could also hear voices, but he couldn't understand what they were saying because that sound of this hum or this whirling sound coming from the engines kind of muffled it out a little bit. We was telling you he was a mechanic, you know, originally. At the beginning of the story, that's what he does for a trade. He thought maybe there might be some kind of problem with the ship. Maybe it landed because it was, you know, mechanical problem right. or something. So he decided he wanted to help. So he yelled into the direction of the ship that he was a mechanic and could help if they needed some mechanical assistance. The voices that he had been hearing just stopped. They didn't answer back at all. So he asks again in Polish. No answer. He then tried asking again in German and then in Russian, but he got no answer back on either one. So he decided to get a little bit closer and take a little better look. He said one thing that immediately stood out to him is the metal on the ship was incredibly smooth. And there were no seams. Where it would be put together. It was like was one continuous round piece of metal or whatever. He also noticed that there was an open door that had some bright light coming from it. Now, it was a white light.
It's not like the stairs, right? Or
No, it was just like then. He said it was just like a rectangular opening in the ship. Now, he always carried a pair of welding goggles with him when he was prospecting out there. So if he was chipping away at stone or something like that with his pick, that it would protect his eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
He just happened to carry those. So obviously, if you know anything about welding equipment, you can stare into bright lights for that. That's what they're designed to do. He decides to put them on and he starts looking inside the door. Now, he's not like up at the door, but he's close enough where he can kind of see in.
Kind of peek around.
He said that there were all kinds of different light beams inside, different panels that consisted of various colored flashing lights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was one of the more amazing things that he had seen, but he really couldn't tell what it was. All he could see was flashing lights, flashing colored lights, beams of light. It sounds like there was a rave going on in there. Maybe it was George Jetson.
That's what we're going to be doing soon, flying around in the sky like that.
But, you know, I said it sounds like it was a rave going on or something there. And I would rather have an anal probe than to sit through a rave at this point in my life. He then kind of stepped away. And he said as soon as he did, the door closed. He said it was like three panels that slid straight across, sealing it completely. He said he wanted to touch it, so he reached out and he touched the metal of the ship, and it melted the fingertips and the glove that he was wearing.
What?
Melted it.
Dude, he's so lucky he had those gloves on.
Well, he's going to wish he had a suit of armor on.
Oh, shoot.
Because what happens then is the ship turns counterclockwise. And where it stops at, he notices that there's this panel. And we're going to have to post a bunch of pictures of these, because there's some pictures of what he drew and all this. But this is one of the shows where we're going to post some pictures, because it'll make a lot more sense. He said there was this panel, and it had a grid of small little holes on it. Think about, and it's not exactly alike, but I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Think about how a cheese grater would look.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's not exactly like that. Or a waffle iron.
Yes.
You know how you got all the little square syrup traps, as Mitch Hedberg calls them.
Yeah.
So you got that. That's trying to paint a picture for you. So he's looking at this thing, and a blast of air or gas comes straight out of that panel. And it hits him, and it knocks him back. It sets his shirt and his cap on fire.
Holy crap.
He was able to take his cap off and he ripped his shirt off. And as he was doing this thing flew away. So I guess this was, if I'm understanding it correctly, it was like the exhaust of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as it propelled itself out.
Yeah, the hot stuff came out of the engines. Yeah.
Would be or something like that. Stefan made his way through the woods. He was nauseous. He was trying to make it back to the hotel, but he was nauseous. He was wanting to throw up. He just didn't really have his wits about him. His chest hurt, as you can imagine. He got back to the motel, and he catches a bus back to Winnipeg, which is where he lived. Once he got back home, he made a trip to the hospital to get kind of checked out. He had burns on his chest and his stomach. The burns later turned into raised sores that were in a grid pattern, much like what we just talked about. But see, these were like more like little, well, you'll see more. I'm just babbling now because I can't completely describe
it. Well, yeah, it'd be hard to, I wonder what the doctors were thinking.
So, well, he suffered from diarrhea and headaches and blackouts and weight loss for weeks after this incident. So Stefan thought about keeping this secret. But you got to realize when he was living in Poland, he was a military policeman. And he said that morally, he felt that he was obligated to tell somebody so this didn't happen to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The news traveled really quick, though. Because once he said something about it, his family's house was like bombarded by reporters and military and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and several government agencies. Everybody wanted to know what happened to this guy blasted by a UFO. Stefan's 9-year-old son, Stan, was even followed to school by some of the media and hounded with questions.
Ooh.
Now, Stan said that the incident flipped their entire lives over. He said there were people camping out on their lawn from this point on.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Stan said that as a 9-year-old, what he remembers most was seeing his dad in the bedroom. He was sick and he was burned, and he didn't really know what would happen. He said that the smell was absolutely horrible, that it was a huge stink as soon as you walked into the room. It was the aroma of sulfur and burnt motor. It was all around and even coming out of his pores.
Oh, man. Poor guy.
He said obviously he was afraid for his father because he didn't know exactly what happened. Well, he just knows he's seen him like that. So all these agencies, including the U.S. Air Force, came to the conclusion that whatever happened was unexplainable. Nobody had an answer for what this was, what happened. So some of the items, though, that Stefan, you know, was using, like the glove and all that stuff, it was later retrieved from the site. So they, like I said, they got the glove. It did have the melted tips on it. It matched his story exactly. They also got his shirt that had caught fire. It was partially burnt, but more important, it had the gridlock burn marks.
Yeah. So they had it
on, you know, it was scorched under, like, if you've ever seen a scorch from like an iron on a white dress shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
This was like an undershirt, a tank top.
Yeah.
Undershirt, white. And it had these marks on there, just like if you'd have taken, you know, like I said, a waffle iron and laid the shirt on it and just pressed it until it made a mark.
So did they, so they took it all and had it analyzed, I'm sure.
Yes.
Or did they try to sweep it under the rug?
No, they tried to analyze it. And they said that they were never able to determine what caused the burns.
Maybe it was a George Foreman grill.
It could be. It could be Michael Scott's foot. It looked exactly like Michael Scott's foot. That's the best example. Only the Office fans will get that one.
Yeah.
So they're also out there looking for other evidence, and they find this circle that's 15 feet in diameter at this site, and all of the vegetation had been burned away underneath of it. Perfect circle was about 15 feet in diameter at the site, and all of the vegetation underneath this circle was completely burned away. There was moss and grass and all kinds of other, you know, vegetation and plants and stuff everywhere outside the circle, but nothing within the circle. So they took some soil samples and some other types of dirt and stuff from all around this circle and had it analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
These samples, as well as Stefan's clothes, showed very high levels of radiation. The burn marks that Stefan had also was consistent with radiation burns. Even as late as 1 year later, they found a piece of metal and a coin that had melted into the cracks of the rock. So think about this. There was a piece of metal and a coin that apparently this ship landed on, and it was so hot that it melted both of these.
Wow. I can't believe this guy even lived.
And there's no explanation for that either. Stan, which was his son, obviously wrote a book about his father's family's experiences in 2017 called When They Appear. Now, he said that the hardest part of all the years and years of people questioning his father's sanity or calling him a liar is what got to him the most.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Stefan was seen by a psychiatrist and was determined to be a person of sound mind and a type of person that would not make up stories, mm-hmm. according to the psychiatrist. He also said that a year after the incident, he was still suffering from blackouts and the burns would reoccur on his chest. So they would go away.
You mean they would come back?
They would come back. He even went to the Mayo Clinic up in Minneapolis to get checked out, but there was no luck at all on finding a solution.
Oh, how miserable for him.
Stan still has a piece of that melted metal that was, they pried from the rock up there. He said it's still radioactive 50 years later.
That cannot be true.
It is true. Why would Stan lie to us?
Oh, my gosh.
As far as the rest of the items that were recovered that day, believe it or not, most have, oddly enough, disappeared as they were shifted from agency to agency. They've just come up missing over the years. Stan said, if Dad hoaxed this, remember, we're talking about a blue-collar industrial mechanic. If he hoaxed this, he was a freaking genius.
Well, yeah, and why would he would want that stuff to appear back on his chest time and time again?
Right.
Yeah.
Stefan Michalak died in 1999. He was 83 years old. And in the 32 years that he was alive after the incident, he never changed anything about his story. He also never said that he thought it was a UFO or that he saw aliens. He always said that he still thought it was an experimental craft from the United States Air Force.
Mm-mm. That's something to have to live with all your life.
I'm telling you. So that's a pretty cool story, for real.
Yes, it is a good story.
And wait till I post those pictures so you can see them.
Interesting.
The second story we're going to go, we're going to stay outside of the United States. This one is in the Dandenong foothills in Victoria, Australia.
Good day, mate.
I just knew it was going to happen.
I couldn't help it.
This was in August of 1993, and it involves a young lady by the name of Kelly Cahill. Her and her husband and three kids had went to visit a friend's house. They're heading home. It's, I don't know, a little after midnight. And Kelly notices something over top of the treetops. She says as it gets closer, it looked more like a row of round lights. This will be another one that we'll have to show pictures of to fully get. She said it appeared that these lights were more or less like windows. And it was really close to the ground. Close enough to the ground that she could see silhouettes in these windows that looked kind of like people.
Oh, dang.
So think about if you was to look up into a tower.
Yeah.
Of like an air traffic controller tower or something that had the big windows and it was round. And you could see people up there. She's saying that's kind of what she saw. Like other stories that we've heard in the past, she said there was no sound at all coming from the craft. And with a second, it just shot off to the left and was gone.
That's amazing how fast they can do that.
Yeah. So they go on driving, mile or two down the road, and something else happens. This very bright light, she said brighter than the sun, started like just shining right across the road. Right in front of them. And it practically blinded them. It was so bright. And keep in mind, this was nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, she asks her husband, what are we going to do? And he says, I'm just going to keep driving. A few seconds later, the light's gone. Kelly was at ease now, and she's just kind of relaxing. She looks over at her husband and said, what happened? Did I black out? He didn't respond at all. He just kept driving home. Which, if you're a man with a woman who drives beside you in the passenger seat, you know that's your best response at any point in time. Just don't comment and keep driving. So they get home, and Kelly notices a strange smell. A smell that smells like vomit.
Mm.
She also has an odd feeling that she's missing something from the ride home. Like maybe there's some kind of memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
She figures out that from the time that they left her friend's house to get home, it took about an hour longer than it should have taken, and she had no recollection of where this hour went. Later that night, she noticed a triangular mark on her navel area. She had never seen this before, so it had to have happened this day.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly's really kind of off for the next several weeks. Just something just didn't seem right to her. Not just emotionally, but physically. In the same time period that we're talking about, she made two trips to the hospital. Once for stomach pain and once for a uterine infection. She was told at the time that this looks like possible signs that she may have had a pregnancy that, you know, maybe just didn't come to fruition, but something in her woman parts looked like that she had been through a pregnancy that maybe was terminated early or whatever the situation was.
My God, I can't believe she wouldn't remember that.
Well, oddly enough, shortly after, she starts to remember more and more of what happened that night. So let's revisit. They saw the lights that turned out to be an actual windows of a craft. Then it took off. Remember that part. Now, this is where, you know, the hour probably went that she was missing before. She remembers now that they saw this object. They stopped the car. Her and her husband get out. They walk towards a fence, and they look at the spacecraft. They were also surprised to see that another car stopped as well. The people in that car also got out and started moving towards the craft. Now, this huge ship was right in front of them. Kelly and her husband stood there for about 30 to 45 seconds before this huge black being appeared right in front of the ship. She described it as not black in color, per se, but void of color, almost like a dark shadow.
Mm-hmm.
She said it was about 7 foot tall, its eyes were large like a fly's eyes, and they were glowing red. She couldn't make out any kind of discernible features. And after the initial shock of seeing this creature or being or whatever it is, she suddenly noticed that there were several more behind it.
Like an army?
Yeah, they were just out in the field, but they were in small groups. Like, mm-hmm. There was a bunch of them, but there was like three or four here, three or four there. They weren't all separate. So one group headed towards Kelly and her husband, and the other one kind of split off and started going towards the other car. She said they covered a lot of ground quickly. Like, it was like, in a second, they were like 100 feet closer than what they were. Kelly kind of grasped onto her husband tightly because she felt that these entities, whatever they were evil. She felt like she might also pass out at this point, and instead, she screamed to the top of her lungs to leave them alone. Well, at that point, all of these creatures' eyes started glowing red, and they all started heading towards them.
You're like, yeah, you ain't telling me what to do.
She said she remembers blacking out at that point after, and only after, like, it felt like a blow to her stomach, and she was just knocked completely backwards.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was, like, it wasn't one of these things putting their hands on her. It was just, as they were coming, it was like something just blew her back.
Yeah, that'd be sucky for her to be saying, y'all leave me alone, and then she blacks out, and then you don't have a clue what's happening then.
Next thing you know, she's in the car. So what about the other people in the other car? There was three people in that car. Jane, Glenda, and Bill. Now, Jane and Glenda are the ones who got out and approached the craft. Bill stayed in the car. Jane and Glenda and Kelly were all asked to draw pictures of the craft and the aliens by the police. Now, keep in mind, none of these people knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't there together doing that. This was separately when they were asked to do these things. All three pictures are amazingly similar. All three women were also left with triangular marks in their navel area. Jane and Glenda had dots on their inner thighs.
They probed them in there?
You're a probe happy. Glenda had a mark all the way around her ankle that looked as though it had been tied down by something. Now, if I can find this picture, I'll post this one too. Picture what it would look like around your ankle if you just tied a string right around above the ankle area and just so tight that it made a mark and you just took it off. It literally looks like somebody took a Sharpie and just drew a circle completely around it.
Well,
UFO researchers also found physical evidence in the field that would correspond with what the pictures the women drew. The picture of the crafts kind of look like, again, I'm trying to explain stuff that I can't explain, but they look like that they were a type of flying saucer shape that you would typically think of, okay? Just like the Jupiter 2 off of Lost in Space. But instead of like being metal all the way around, it had the roll of lights that went all the way around, kind of like Wilma Flintstone's necklace. That's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
I love these descriptions. UFOlogists are probably thinking, would this guy please stop doing UFO stories?
That's how we all understand it, so.
But then you've got this blue light that was underneath of it. And it was kind of like rays of blue light, and there was a tripod that was like in the middle of it. And when I say rays of blue light, think about like a jellyfish's tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way the light was. It wasn't like straight down. It was at an angle.
That's cool.
Like I said, I'll post pictures of their pictures, and you'll get a better idea. And then you had that tripod-looking thing in the middle. Well, in the grassy field there were three burn marks that matched up right with the tripod that the ladies actually drew. And oddly enough, Jane and Glenda drew their image of the ship, and it had the tripod. But Kelly said she completely missed the tripod. Her picture looked the same, but
yeah, she didn't put that on there.
And she said, but it makes sense now that she sees it, but she completely missed it. So...
cool.
Anyways, that's our stories of a couple of really alien interesting abduction stories.
I think it'd be kind of cool to be abducted, but
I'm all for it. What do we got to do to make that happen?
I don't know.
Not me.
Oh, you mean me? Oh.
Well, you're the one volunteering for it. I'm volunteering for it.
So. You were really quick to jump on that horse.
So, all right, guys. We got just a few more minutes left, and Tracy gets to tell you about our Patreons and stuff this week.
Okay, I will do that. Okay, guys, our iTunes reviews this week is That Philly Chick 32, Miss Farm Girl, Christopher
Robbins,
Huertes. I still didn't say it very good.
Huertes.
Sorry, Christopher. Janet from Prescott, RLS 1968-0110, and Ryan Noseworthy. Thank you for your very, very kind reviews, guys. That was awesome. And our Patreons this week is Heidi Z and Paula Johnson. Thank you guys for your support. We appreciate that you do that for us every week. It means a lot to us. And just keep those reviews coming.
And while we're on the subject of Patreon, I want to remind people that when you sign up for Patreon, it's free right off the bat because they don't charge you till the first of the month. So, like, if you was to sign up for Patreon right now, you can basically try it out for 2 weeks for free.
Right, right. Basically, you can.
And more importantly, some people always tell us, oh, we hate that you do commercials. You know what? We hate that we do commercials too, but that's how we make a living at this point in time. And that's what keeps the show going. That's what buys the equipment that we use in the live shows and all that stuff. Aside from, you know, your Patreon money also. But all that money, you know, gets poured, a lot of it gets poured back into the show. And as we start doing more and more, like now we're doing the second episode a week and all that. And that's all because we're able to not work a day job as much. And, you know, so we depend on that money to be able to live while we keep creating content. With that being said, some people don't like the commercials, and I don't blame them. It's, you know, but we give you an option. If you're a Patreon supporter, even at the dollar a month level. So for $1 a month, you get the Wednesday episode and you get the regular Sunday episode completely ad-free because we post those in there. We just started doing that in the last month or so. But if you don't like the commercials, we post them in there without the commercials. So for a dollar a month, you can completely get away from all the commercials if you want to. Otherwise, they have to be there. You know.
Yeah, just hang with us, guys. Yeah. And we appreciate that you do that. I mean, I understand because, like, I'm watching TV. I Thank God for DVR, because I forward right through those daggone things. But just kind of hang with us if you don't mind. And again, we appreciate everything that you all do for us.
Absolutely. Live shows. We put the tickets on sale. We're getting close to Christmas. And, you know, it's funny. We talk about they make good Christmas gifts. Like, there's 90 seats available for the Pigeon Forge show. That's in, when is that show? June, July? I don't know. It's like a long, it's in the summer of next month. We've already sold out 9 of the 90 tickets. Mm-hmm. 10% of the tickets are already sold out.
That's amazing. You guys rock.
And a bunch of the other shows have sold 4, 5, 6 tickets too. So, you know, we've sold, I think, 25 tickets or so already in the first couple of weeks they were on sale. And none of these shows are any sooner than 6 months away. So it's incredible, and it's a testament to you guys. But I promise you, this coming year, even if you've been to live shows, these are going to blow you away. Like I said, we're putting money into these shows. We're buying stuff. I was out looking at more lighting setups today, as a matter of fact, to make these things a little more show-like.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, we love you. And we think about you all the time.
We do.
We don't always touch ourselves when we do. Tracy might. I don't because I'm a gentleman.
It's the best song ever.
But we just want to say a big heartfelt thank you. We got good things happening with the show, and every day a little more makes us realize how blessed we are.
Yes, we're very blessed. And like we say, it's all because of you all.
Absolutely.
We love you, and we hope you all have a blessed week.
Warning.
You will be offended.
Are you sick of everybody being so sensitive these days?
No matter what you say, everyone gets offended.
Then we've got the podcast for you. I'm Jerry.
I'm Amanda, and we're the hosts of Warning, You Will Be Offended.
A podcast with no filter. If you're offended easily, this is not the podcast for you. We can't even talk about most of the topics on this promo. You won't want to miss Amanda's Fact of the Week.
Ooh, can I tell them about torso porn?
Absolutely not.
Can I tell them what color whale poop is?
No. So subscribe today to Warning, You Will Be Offended.
It's pink!
Damn it!
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.